The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
My colleagues have deliberated on it, but I'll go further and talk about it. Happiness, number one, is satisfaction and delight. Number two, happiness is pleasure and joy. Number three, happiness is cheerfulness and merriment. Number four, happiness means to be in high spirit and to be glad. And finally, happiness means to be in a state of contentment. Now, the first point to note about happiness is that it is a state of mind. You are not happy at certain times, not necessarily because of any negative events around, but because of what you are thinking in your head. What you are thinking in your head may make you vacillate between being happy and unhappy. So when we talk about a state of mind, we are talking about a person's mood and how this mood affects the person's behavior. So if you want to control your mood and be in charge better, then to a large extent, you have to regulate what you plant into your mind. Because God made us to have joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, made us to draw happiness from things that are around us. So the first point to note is happiness is a state of mind. Number two, happiness is an emotion. It's an emotion of joy, an emotion of gladness, and an emotion of well-being. Now, your well-being talks about having meaningful social relationships. Your well-being talks about having good health, your welfare. And your well-being includes positive emotions, such as joy, happiness, peace, excitement, etc. The third thing to note about happiness is that happiness can be developed, it can be nurtured, and it can grow. So if you have an opportunity to be happy, and you can develop it, at least even though it's fleeting, at least sustain it for a little while. Let it affect your mood, and let it spur you on to doing other things. There are things in life that may add up to our happiness. The first one is our connection to God. There are times that when you stay in the presence of God and you walk out, you have a certain peace in your heart. You have a certain satisfaction in your heart. You know God heard you. And that note of peace that makes you await the answer, it's itself very significant. And the things God may tell you that he will be doing may also calm your life. So that connection to God, where you draw his energy, you draw his grace, you draw his favor, and you draw his power, is important. The second thing is your sense of purpose and your sense of direction. If you live in life without a purpose, you will be happy about an event that brings some excitement to you today. Then the next day you find that if we plot a graph for you, you'll be going down. So you have to have a sense of purpose, which will determine your sense of direction and which will bring you meaning in life. The third thing is to have good quality relationships. Good quality relationships. And with the good quality relationships, Bishop Akon alluded to the fact that he has good friends in this place. And one of them is Reverend Bernard Adiakwa. A good relationship is valueless. It's so important that as soon as the person calls and say, Chale, miniyano, you find that it changes your whole mood and brings some excitement, because you know that this guy will say a word into your life, will tell you a positive story that will enhance your mood or will encourage you as you go ahead. Number four is pursuing your values. These things can make you happy. The things that you stand for, that line up with the word of God, there may be honesty, there may be sincerity, there may be purity. But as you pursue these things, they all add up. Number five is your gratitude. Can I suggest to you that because God opened the door for us today and to have such program organized for us, an array of colossal speakers speaking to us from different perspectives but on the same topic, why don't we put our hands together, shout to God's glory? Come on. I like that, madam. Thank you for rising to the honor of God. Oh, I like that. Thank you, madam. Thank you, sir. Thank you, you over there. Thank you, minister. Oh, we are saying we are grateful to God because he has counted us worthy to be part of the kingdom of God. Thank you. You may resume your seats. Gratitude has a way of adding happiness to you, especially those who know how to do it, and they do it sincerely. They do it from their hearts, and you feel like continuing to do more for them because they just came and acknowledged the relationship, the contributions, and the things that you have done for them. Grateful people are parting with you, they know what to say. They say that you have been an amazing person in my life, but have to part. I wish you the best in your endeavors, and may you be successful as you propose to. But I'm grateful for your positive impact. Oh, somebody is smiling. Put your hands together and acknowledge God. I'll pick the sixth point. Is by no means the final. The list continues interminably. It has to do with giving and receiving. There's something about giving. When you give, you fulfill the command of God. When you give, you position yourself for a harvest. When you give, it's an expression of your faith and confidence. Like Abraham, that he believed that God was able to raise Isaac even if he slew him dead. And it's important that those who give are always happy. The little opportunity you get, do a giving. Now, when you receive, it's also exciting. You know, you just have your phone and then there's an alert and there's a kinkering and something lands on it. Everybody may be sad around, but somehow it changes your mood. And you wish you could shout hallelujah, you know, loudly. But where you are, you have to be a little more diplomatic. And you shout the hallelujah inside. Tomanoni omi, hallelujah omi. The fourth point I'd want to make, so we said happiness is what? Number one, a state of mind. Number two is an emotion. Number three, it can be developed, nurtured, and made to grow. Although it's fleeting, we can sustain it for a while. Number four, happiness is intrinsic and not so much extrinsic. Intrinsic things are things that are inside you. There are things inside you. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, the life-giving forces. Things about faith, the power of God, love, peace, they're all there. Now, God wants you to harness them from time to time, period to period, to counteract challenging circumstances, to deal with negative thoughts that may want to be flooding your mind, to deal with bad criticisms, to deal with situations where your boss at the workplace is giving you unreasonable deadlines. Somehow, you have certain intrinsic forces. They are inside you. and you are able to harness them and bring them to pass. For those that depend on extrinsic happiness, they want somebody to validate them. They want to have external before they are fine. You can be by yourself from morning to happy, from morning to afternoon and be very happy. Am I speaking the truth? Maybe no one around, you have a bottle of fruit juice, you are watching television, you are listening to the word. There's something and you don't even realize that time is running out because you know how to keep yourself happy and you draw from your inside the intrinsic forces that will help you. There are some things, however, that compromise our happiness. Number one is stress. Stress is quite a controlling and dominating force which happens in our lives. A life without stress is no life. Stresses will come and we need to manage them so that they don't affect us negatively and we don't have problems that bring stress disorders. So there are some people who are very stressed in their relationships. They are stressed at home in their relationship, their father and them, or mother and them. Some people are stressed in the relationship between some co-workers who don't understand them. Sometimes it's even in a marriage, and some of these things can just undercut your happiness for the day. So you must learn and develop the skills to manage your stresses. Number two, I'm talking about things that compromise your happiness. It are negative thoughts, fear, anxiety, worry, depression. All these things can come at you at a time if you allow them, even ideations of suicide. Number three, disconnected relationships. Psychologists will tell you that some of the happiest people are people who are in very good relationships. Psychologists went to a university to check those in the top 10 percentile. Those that if you count the people in the top 10, you will find it was realized that in the university they had good social relationships. They had good social relationships. They knew how to connect. So some couples are unhappy, although they live in the same home. They are quite disconnected. They are not together. They are really in the home, but they are not bonding. Bonding is such a blessing. And bonding can be achieved through intimacy. Strong friendships and strong family ties are always an advantage to us. When we talk about fulfillment, we are talking about a certain satisfaction that you have on your inside, irrespective of what is happening on the outside. It's a state of contentment, satisfaction that you get into. You may not have enough clothes to change for 1 month to go to service, but there is a certain satisfaction in you that the God whom you serve, who has promised it, will bring his word to pass in your life. Contentment keeps you away from envy. And contentment saves you from jealousy. It makes your love pure and refined. So contentment is quite independent of external circumstances. It's purely your understanding of your relationship with God. Purely your understanding of the scriptures that God has for you and how you relate to that. Can I hear an amen? So my job now is to connect all this to romantic relationship. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. What is it in romantic relationship? And Bishop Akon has spoken, 3/4 of his message was about romantic relationship. 3/4. Now, what is it in romantic relationship that can make us happy? What is it in romantic? So, first of all, what is romance? Romance means your ability to use your creativity and your imagination to make your relationships more fulfilling and exciting. So number one, you use your creativity. Number two, you use your imagination to make an ordinary relationship extraordinary. You make it more fulfilling and exciting. Now, if you pick a caterer, they use their imagination and creativity to take an ordinary food and turn it into an extraordinary food. A food that could sell by the street side for a total of 20 cedis, they can do something to it and garnish it. And by the time you see it, you'll be salivating. And finally, they can sell that plate of meal for 300 cedis. When God created us, he didn't give us tilapia that has already been spiced and grilled. He gave us tilapia that you will pick from the waters. If you decide to go ahead, and as soon as the catch is brought to you, you start cutting it and eating it, at the end of the day, even if you grilled it like that, you'll be tasting the river. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. But tilapia must be spiced. A little ginger. Oh, makoto yo bros toko. How did I get here? A little green pepper. Oh, makua takatakata. Something to just spice it and leave it overnight in the refrigerator so that the thing will seep into the innermost being of the tilapia. It is then when it is brought out and it is taken to the grill and it is being roasted under the circumstances that all the people in behind your house will know that something is happening in your kitchen. It changes the taste, the aroma rises, and the whole thing is that you take a little, you don't even swallow the first, and you are pinching the second one. Oh, good tilapia is good. When God gave you the relationship, he gave it to you like tilapia. If you decide to walk in the relationship that way, you'll be tasting the river. If it doesn't taste nice to you, and you think some other people, no, they're not too smart. They're just spicing their thing. And romantic love brings spicing and fresh aroma and satisfaction to your relationship. Oh, come on. Let's all clap if we are clapping. So it's the ability to use your creativity and imagination to make your relationship more fulfilling and exciting. Romantic love are the distinguishing moments in a relationship that adds more drama and episode to the whole thing. Ah. Thank you. So romantic relationship can bring you pleasurable emotional feelings that enable you to connect more in that relationship. Romance has the capacity to make you rekindle and rejuvenate your love. Then you look into the eyes of your spouse and say, "Acho, kemi sumobu na apa." Oh, say amen if you're happy. So romance adds love, affection. Affection is a certain endearment that you have towards a thing. I remember I visited this church and the couple was molestic. I visited another church and it was mammalistic. There must be something in the listic. So I'm deciding to adopt one into my house. I don't know what that will sound like. Somebody is suggesting something. So a certain endearment, a certain affection, a certain love. A romance should not be once a while thing. It must be nearly an everyday affair. Nearly an everyday aspect of our lives. Why? Because it adds fun. It brings humor, adventure, passion, appreciation, respect to the relationship. It enhances you psychologically, emotionally, physically, and makes things fresh. A little peck here and there. Deep kisses to a spouse where they are deserved. A gentle touch and a cuddle and a massage like the bishop suggested. Oh, for those whose love language includes buying flowers, then you get a bouquet. The candlelit dinners that you have. The walk under the moonlit skies, holding one another's hands and looking into your eyes and saying, why didn't we get married early enough? The love song that you sing to the other person. I remember this guy came to tell me his experience back in the university many, many years ago. And he said there was this lady who was also a student in the university who expressed interest in him. And she invited the gentleman to her hall of residence, and particularly to her room. And she had skills in playing the guitar. So she chose a love song. If you can help me sing, I don't know the word. I bless the day I found you. What's the next line? I am is the around you. Oh, help me now. Now and forever. Let it. Oh, you guys clap for yourselves. Each time, oh time, I found complete love. Without your sweet love, where would I be? So while the lady was strumming on the guitar and playing it, this gentleman had no idea because his background, nobody has played guitar to express love like that. I mean, so while the lady was playing it, he held his hands on his chest and said, oh, ninja GMM, yo. Oh, you are not clapping. The people here are not clapping. She was waiting for the music to die out. And when the music subsided, and she thanked the lady Nagbe, he ran out of the room. And later on, he was telling me that it took me over 20 years to find a partner. And he was alluding it to the fact that he probably was not very romantic. Oh, you can say a poem to her. Oh, thou dark-skinned feminine creature. Oh, yeah. I wrote this poem when I was 21, and it was the first poem that took me to GTV. Thou dark-skinned feminine creature. Indeed, you are well molded in the very image of thy creator. Black, broad African woman, the manifestation of thy love is well known. for thy shoulders have been the altar of love. The crying babies are kettled and rocked amid a melody of lullaby. Oh, come on. Black, broad African woman, you have coaxed us with your pure breast milk. Foreign organisms which have gained entry into our eyes have been irrigated away by the same. Oh, black, broad African woman. I told you only three stanzas of my poem. I will not tell you again. Hey, the pastors are, they are joking you. Even the woman in the book of Proverbs, who was described as the strange woman, had romantic language. The Bible says that she stood up in the window and sought for a simple-minded man. But before then, she had prepared a bed. And when she walked down to meet him, he said, I have decked my bed with tapestry. Bob Marley says, turn down your lights low. Never, never try to resist. Oh, no. Oh, boy. After all, Apostle Paul went to a place, and the title of his message was from the heathen insignia that he saw there, to an unknown God. So I'm preaching from Bob Marley chapter 2. I want to end my message very quickly. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. The surprises that you spring here and there, the little gifts that you thoughtfully do and present to the person. Oh, the cruising on the ship in the night, where all kinds of meals are served and it's a boat ride for 1.5 hours. And as you look at the ocean and the waves receding back and forth, but with stability on the ship, you say, in the issues of life, there are vicissitudes, but the strength of the Lord shall keep us afloat. The sexy lingeries you buy, oh, Makoto, you're broken, oh, for your spouse. You wear them and walk past. You have a little catwalk in your house. The text messages you send by day and by night. That yesterday it was at your home grounds, but today it is in my home grounds. I am the referee. I am the VAR. Oh, Makua Kataya Brian. Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying. The pastors that you sent to surprise, and let me tell you this story. There was this woman that I was counseling, and she said the husband was very unromantic and she was looking for something special and she wasn't getting it. So as Valentine's Day was drawing nigh, she decided to go to FedEx where parcels could be sent. And she sent a parcel through FedEx from one of the outfits to herself. And she wrote, from a dear sweetheart, Makua Kataya. And then he made sure that he told them not to deliver it under her instructions. So the day she realized the husband had closed from work early and he was going nowhere, she called him to go and deliver it to him. So the man received the thing and started to shake, pick the phone and call me, Reverend, please come. And I was far away and he was far. He said, I should come. Something will happen to him. And that the wife, somebody has sent. And the kind of words that were written on it, I said he should hold on because I myself, I would drive to the place. So I don't need to hear those words. Then I called the wife. Then she started laughing. Oh, Ajay. Yeah, she was laughing. I said, what is happening? She said, my man will not do that to me. So I decided to honor myself by sending myself a special Valentine's Day parcel. From that day, the man changed. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, the tender smiles, the wink, meaningful wink. When I listened to this poet one time who came to perform at the University of Ghana, Lagos, there were different poets who were making editions of their poetry. And there was this particular poet who came, and I've never forgotten this line in his poem. He said, he got to a place and said, and he picked an item of nothingness from her hair. If the one seated by you is your wife, kindly pick an item of nothingness from her hair. In other words, there was nothing in her hair. Everything was fine, but just romantically, he picked something from a strand of the hair. Oh, Reverend, thank you for... Oh, were you pointing your finger to her face? Reverend, maybe I didn't see well. Forgive me. In conclusion, romantic love is the engine that propels the relationship. It's the factor that makes it tick. It is the rhythm that determines the music. It's the passion that drives the love. It is the fuel that provides the energy. It is the zeal that performs the task. It is the wind that stokes the fire. On that note, I say thank you. Oh, is that all you? Your clap is not romantic at all. Oh, let's give glory to God. Let's give praise to the Most High God. Oh, if you're happy with God, why don't you show it unreservedly to Him? Show it unreservedly to Him.